Good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk very briefly about software applications on no-till cotton and show testing software method comparison. Here is a preliminary list of possible factors causing software deficiency. For example, less sulfur deposition from the atmosphere to the soil, increased use of sulfur-free fertilizers, and greater removal by high crop yields. And sulfur dioxide concentration in the atmosphere in this country was reduced by as much as 76% from 1990 to 2014, and this was the reason why we got less and less sulfur from the atmosphere year by year during the past several decades. We did a previous study in 2007 through 2010. 2007 we had a very bad drought problem, so the response was not significant. 2008 we had a significant response. 2009 the response was very close to significance. And 2010, because the summer was very hot, was unusually hotter than the usual ones, so we didn't get a significant response. On the average, with the 3 years of normal yields, applying 10 to 20 pounds of sulfur actually had a yield increase about 8 to 9%. In 2012, my colleague Blake Brown, the director of UT Research and Education Center at Milan, he did a very simple study with large strip plots for 7 replicates. He found the application of 20 pounds of sulfur increased the cotton yields by about 10%. So he got about the same results as what we got during 2008 to 2010. We thought more research was needed because of the following reasons. More sulfur deficiencies were observed across the state. More and more producers were using sulfur fertilizers on their farms. And more private consultants recommended sulfur fertilizers to farmers. And our university really didn't have any guidelines for managing sulfur deficiencies. In terms of soil sulfur testing method, University of Tennessee soil testing lab used ammonia acetate to extract soil sulfur. However, our method was not calibrated, so there was no rank or recommendation. We just reported the numerical value of the result. And our laboratories, now we call Waterpoint at Memphis, they use the Medic 3, and they have their ranks and recommendations. You can see actually that sheet has everything about their recommendations for different crops. So beginning from 2014, we did a 3-year study with 16 set years in total. And the soil texture varied from sandy to silt loam, and we had 5 different application rates, and the application time was either a little bit before cotton planting or a couple of weeks after cotton plant, within a couple of weeks after cotton planting. And we used ammonia sulfate or potassium sulfate as the sulfur source for this study. Initial soil properties, soil organic matter ranged from 1.3 to 2.6%, and that is pretty common in the mid-south. And soil pH was about 5.8 to 7.0, that is also very common in our region. And soy sulfur concentration under Mark 3 ranges from 17 to 35 pounds per acre. Based on NL rankings, those values were in the low and the medium ranges. Temporal changes in soy sulfur. You can see this is very interesting. Soy sulfur concentrations in May and June were much higher than those in February and March for all these five locations. And we got the same results for 2015 and 2016. Within those 3-4 months, for sure there was no crop on the field. And probably, you know, the temperature increased month by month, and that really resulted in enhanced release of sulfur from soil organic matter. That was why we got much higher soil testing sulfur results in May and June. Measurements with this soil sulfur before the treatment and after cutting harvest. We did leaf sulfur, early bloom and late bloom. For sure, we measured the yield quality, and also we looked at the relationships among all the measurements. Deficiency. We saw a lot of deficiency symptoms in our study year by year. Usually we saw that deficiency during late June to early July for about 3 weeks. Then the symptoms disappeared, because at that period, cutting growth reached to the maximum, and the release of soil sulfur could not provide adequate nutrition for the crop. Basically, you can see with sulfur application, the color is very dark green. Without any sulfur, the color is pretty light and yellowish. Leaf sulfur deficiency, according to our current sulfur deficiency range, or you say critical value, here at early bloom, we had 11 out of the total 13 set years showing sulfur deficiency in the leaf at early bloom. However, at late bloom, we only had 3 set years. So these results really showed leaf sulfur concentration is more pronounced to deficiency at early bloom than at late bloom. In terms of significant responses, leaf sulfur at early bloom responded significantly at 14 set years out of the total 16. Late bloom, we had 12 set years with significant responses. However, late yields only had 7 set years responded to the treatments, and soil residual sulfur had only 1 location with significant responses. So here you can see leaf sulfur responded more and frequently to sulfur then yields, and then residual soil sulfur. Averaged over the 7 set years with significant yield response, basically leaf sulfur increased significantly with each increment in the sulfur application rate from 0 to 10 until 30 to 40. And cutting yields responded highly significantly. An application of 10 pounds of sulfur was adequate enough for cotton production in our study, and that resulted in about 11% yield increase. We also saw some other responses from gene turnout, macronail, and soil sulfur with 2 different methods. across all the 13 set years, you can see the same leaf sulfur increased significantly with each increment in the sulfur application rate, and the yield responded significantly. However, the yield increase was only about 6% on average with the application of 10 pounds of sulfur. And there was a significant and strong relationship between these two extracting methods, ammonia acetate and milk 3. Basically, ammonia acetate extracted much more sulfur than milk 3. It extracted about 2 to 3 times of sulfur as milk 3. However, when you look at set year by set year, the relationship varied significantly. Some of the locations did not show any strong relationship between these two extracting methods, and some other locations did show significant and strong association between the two extracting methods. My colleagues, Angela McClure, Black Brown, Tyson Rapo, and I did another study. We put 3 different crops on the same but small field to compare their responses to sulfur applications. We did this for 3 years at the mining experimental station. Here you can see corn and cotton both responded significantly. And with the application of 10 to 20 pounds of sulfur, corn yields were increased by 15 to 20%, so a very high percentage. However, cotton yield was only increased by 4 to 10%, and soybean yields really didn't show any significant response, averaged over the 3 years. So in summary, leaf sulfur was more frequently deficient at early bloom than at late bloom in the zero sulfur control. And sulfur rate effects on leaf sulfur was more significant at early bloom. Applying of 10 to 20 pounds of sulfur increased yield by 11 to 14% at the responsive set years. And residual sulfur was increased as the sulfur rate went up on the combined data set. And correlation in leaf sulfur between the two extracting methods was significant. And corn is more sensitive to sulfur application than cotton and the soybean. And this project was funded by the Cotton Incorporated and UT. And with that,
we have time for one quick question.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.